It is once again time for Pretty Late's Masterpiece Theater.
We are going to read What's That From? We have a scene from a movie that maybe you've seen, maybe you haven't. And we'll see. We'll test your knowledge. And 312-981-7200. If you can guess What's That From? You will win a gift certificate, gift card from Lou Malnati's. You can go to loumalnati's.com if you don't win, but perhaps you will. But loumalnati's.com for the best pizza in the Chicagoland area. You can have it shipped anywhere in the country. And there are over 40 locations in our area. All right. We are going to read the scene. We have Senator Dankatowski. Okay. We have Elliot Serrano, our chief geek officer. Up in traffic is Esmeralda Leon. And Craig Collins, our producer, is in charge of stage directions as well as fielding your calls. So he's got to multitask. And I'll also be reading part of the scene. Yes, sir.
They don't have a button. They have a button for cough. Now, if you have a button for
sniffles,
don't have
it. It's the same button.
It's the same button.
Yeah.
Same
button. Oh, okay,
consider it the same button.
Sniffle.
All right.
Quiet on set. Quiet on set. Shepard stands in front of AJ, Lewis, Robin, and Kodak. Janie is somewhere in the background.
We lost Quincy, too.
Did he give a reason?
He thinks your numbers aren't likely to rebound.
We're down 3 votes again, sir.
There's this pause before.
Mr. President, as of this morning, Sydney only needed one more vote. The Motown 3 have got to be scared blind. I don't think there will be a better opportunity.
The press is expecting an announcement on the crime bill by the State of the Union.
If you agree to stick 455 in a drawer until after the elections, they'll give you the 3 votes.
And we declare victory, sir.
We said as a last resort.
We're there, sir. The State of the Union is 48 hours away.
No, come on. There's got to be 3 votes someplace else.
There isn't.
Bullcrap, Leon. There's got to be somebody we haven't...
There isn't, sir.
Storch?
I beg your pardon?
What about Storch?
Or Mr. President?
Storch is a no.
Wagner?
No.
Sobel?
No.
Clark?
No.
Not that Clark. The one from Indiana.
That one too, sir.
Shepard is stopped.
Mr. President, I think we have to do it.
She is one vote away, AJ. It's important legislation that for the first time has a legitimate chance. I think she deserves every possible opportunity to...
She? You mean it, didn't you, sir? You mean the important legislation deserves every opportunity.
Lewis, shut up.
There's a horrible silence in the room. Shepard's eyes lock with Lewis's.
You got something to say to me?
Respectfully, sir, I think we should examine the new poll for more than its value as a box score.
Examine what? They don't like that I'm going out with Sydney?
It's not that simple, sir. I think this poll brings a murky problem into specific relief.
Whose problem are we talking about, Lewis? Yours? You worried about your job? This poll isn't talking about my presidency. This poll is talking about my life. 264 million people have decided...
264 million people don't give a damn about your life. They give a damn about their own.
All right, that's enough.
Mr. President, you've raised a daughter almost entirely on your own, and she's terrific. What does it say to you that in the last 7 weeks, 59% of this country has begun to question your family values?
The president doesn't answer to you, Lewis.
Oh, yes, he does, AJ. I'm a citizen. This is my president. And in this country, it is not only permissible to question our leaders, it is our responsibility. But you already know that, Mr. President, because you have a deeper love of this country than any man I've ever known. And I want to know what it says to you that in the past 7 weeks, 59% of Americans have begun to question your patriotism.
Look, if people want to listen to Bob Rumson...
They don't have a choice. Bob Rumson's the only one doing the talking. People want leadership, and in the absence of genuine leadership, they will listen to anyone who steps up to the microphone. They want leadership, Mr. President. They're so thirsty for it, they'll crawl through the desert toward a mirage, and when they discover there's no water, they'll drink the sand.
Lewis, we've had presidents who are beloved, who couldn't find a coherent sentence with two hands and a flashlight. People don't drink the sand because they're thirsty, Lewis. They drink it because they don't know the difference.
The room is silently stunned by what their president has just said.
What?
Nice. Okay, I'm going to say, knowing what movie this is from, this was like the coolest thing I've ever done. Because I've always wanted to read this dialogue. This dialogue is some of the best dialogue.
Let's see if Jimmy knows what dialogue that is from. Hi, Jimmy. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. Wonderful show, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
As always.
Thank you, thank you. Good to hear from you. And what movie is that from? What's that from?
The American President.
The American President is correct!
What? Woo! I thought this was an extension of Mean Girls from last.
Is this a movie you enjoy, Jimmy?
Very much so, actually. Yeah, I thought that Dreyfuss was fantastic, and Michael Douglas and that Benning, fantastic. And honestly, though, after hearing your read-through, kids, I don't know. They would ever run for the money with you guys.
Jimmy's boosting our self-esteem. I love it.
I love Michael J. Fox as Lewis is a great character. And it was great when West Wing came out, because you could kind of see a little bit of, like, AJ, obviously, that they pulled some of those. He pulled those characters and put them in that show.
The West Wing.
Right.
So
absolutely.
Good. Well, Jimmy, hang on the line, and Craig will take your information. You get a Lou Malnati's gift card. Do you like some pizza, Jimmy?
Oh, absolutely. Yes, I do.
Fantastic. So hold on, and congratulations. Thank you so much for playing What's That From?
Yeah.
Yay. That was a lot of fun to do.
Oh, yeah. No, Aaron Sorkin is one of my favorite screenwriters, and I'll see anything he's written. Mm-hmm. And, again, that dialogue, if you've, like, you know, get a chance to really run through it, it's like music. It's like playing music
Did you watch Newsroom? Did you watch
that? That was another one I loved.
That was terrific.
I couldn't get into it. I watched the first episode, which I liked. You know, but
it didn't find itself until halfway through that first season. And then the second season hummed
along.
Although
the first episode rocked. Yeah. And then the first couple, I thought Jeff Daniels was outstanding.
Yeah, but the thing is, it isn't until halfway through that first season that he actually becomes likable. And then at that point, he becomes sympathetic, and then you're with the character. In the beginning, he's really brusque and like the surly boss that everyone's afraid of.
Right.
But then, you know, you start seeing a more sympathetic side of him, and especially the relationship he has with the Olivia Munn character, which really comes out in the second season, too. So, yeah, but anything Aaron Sorkin writes.
Have you ever watched Sports Night?
Oh, Sports Night's another one.
That was a great show. Yes. That was one of my favorites.
They have Knox Overstreet in it. Or the guy who put Knox Overstreet.
Who's
from
Knox?
Dead Poets Society.
Oh, yeah. That's gosh, you know what's funny? He follows me on Twitter, and I can't even remember his name.
Come on.
He was on A Few Good Men.
I know Peter Krause.
This is going to make me crazy.
Melanie Huffman.
It's Josh Charles.
Josh Charles. Robert Guillaume.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I know.
That's right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Why am I thinking about that? Who's the guy in Newsroom, the older guy who kind of is the station manager?
Sam Watterson?
Yes.
He's not on...
No, I was just thinking about it. I was sorry. Yeah, he was floating back to where we're at.
He was in Law and Order, I think.
Yeah, he was great on.
But he was also in Newsroom, right?
Yes, he was.
Yeah, very young Sam Waterston.
Yeah,
but you could see that Josh Molina was also on the Newsroom, and then later would go along to. Was in Sports Night, and then would go along to The West Wing.
Right. He replaces Rob Lowe, convinces him to take over his job.
Right.
Because Josh Molina convinced him. I could really go down this rabbit hole right here.
See, to me, I've been waiting for the Newsroom reunion where Sam Seaborn runs for president.
You mean the West Wing reunion?
I'm sorry, the West Wing reunion. Because there's that episode when Josiah Bartlett and Sam Seaborn are having a discussion about policy and certain things. And he's telling him, figure this out. You can figure this out. Sam, you're going to run for president one day. And I was like, I'm waiting for that episode. I'm waiting for does Sam Seaborn run for president?
Are there plans to do a reunion?
Is it okay for reunions not to happen anymore?
Yeah, but still. Actually, the West Wing.
Is it okay?
Question.
Yeah,
of course.
Well, the West
is.
Wing cast gets together actually for podcasts that they do.
Oh,
the
I didn't
West
know
Wing
that.
Cast, yeah. Bradley Whitford and Josh Molina do a podcast about the West Wing. And especially now with the election being what it was, they've done a lot of commentary on it.
Is Bradley Whitford also the guy who was in Son of a Woman, the brother Al Pacino grabs him by the throat in that Thanksgiving dinner scene?
I don't remember.
Bradley Whitford was Josh. Who did he play
Josh Lyman.
Josh Lyman.
Yeah.
Same guy.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. But it's a serious question, because I think we're kind of conditioned to expect reunions. Bands.
What's wrong with
it? I don't know. Sometimes you just got to let them go.
It's kind of like... it's
just got to let them go. Let them go.
Do you ever wake up from a really great dream and you're like, oh, if I fall back asleep, I can just go back to the dream, and it's just like this horribly Frankenstein version of the dream.
You can never go back to that same dream.
You can never go back to that same dream. Yeah. It's just completely demonized and nowhere near what it was before. It's like I'm afraid of reunions.
Yeah, and people are like, yeah, I saw the Moody Blues last year. They rocked. And I'm like, really? And then, seriously? What was the show like?
Hey,
But then again, I saw Springsteen when he was like 61 and 2, and he killed it.
But that's different than a TV or a movie.
I know, but it's like reunions. They have band reunions, TV reunions, but TV reunions I think are harder. It's like, I don't even think I ever want to see a Friends reunion. Do you want to see one?
No. Well, they tried one. Didn't they have, like, they all got back together on stage?
Yeah, but it wasn't
And then that made it awkward. And then if you have one person that doesn't want to come back, you're like, was that because
if you have one person who had a massive amount of facial surgeries, too, it just looks completely different. Like, what? Courtney Cox.
I think she's talked about that. Oh, which brings me to a show that I just watched. I didn't see the pilot. Did anyone watch Designated Survivor?
Not yet, no. It's on my queue.
Because I'm wondering a little bit if Kiefer had some work done. It looks a little bit...
Kiefer,
really?
Yeah.
Kiefer just puts himself in a hypobaric chamber.
Yeah, I mean, he looks good.
I don't think he eats.
I was stunned speaking of how people look good, I was stunned at Rob Lowe. What's going on with this guy?
Did he do?
No, he just looks ridiculously good for a guy who's like, who's
knows?
Been around
for
a long time.
The trick is to not know how old they are.
Well, that too. But the Rob Lowe is that character that he played on Parks and Recreation, obsessive about his health. That's Rob Lowe.
Oh, he's obsessive about his health?
Yeah, he's very obsessed. So he's constantly working out, staying in shape. I mean, he looks good. I will give him this. He looks really good. Again, why I want to see the Sam Seaborn run for president, because he'd be a good-looking president.
You're absolutely right about that.
We have run into
We're in a zone. We haven't been.
I have a rundown in front of me, and I'm trying to decide which topic to do when we come back, so we'll take a vote off the air. More after this on 720 WGN. We're going to talk about things you should not share. Now, one of these, Senator, I don't think you'll have a problem with. You should never, ever share a brush with somebody.
Okay. Toothbrush?
Also that.
A hairbrush.
the worst person you actually, what was that?
Toothbrush.
Well, that is a terrible thing. By the way.
Paintbrush.
Do you know one of the... And I'm very hesitant to go down this path talking about toothbrushes because Elliot commented a few minutes ago off the air because it's in your bathroom, right? It's on your counter.
Uh-huh.
And when you flush.
Uh-huh. It's been scientifically proven that your brush is going to get poop on it when you flush.
What are you talking
about? Yes. Yeah. It's like a blast radius from your toilet.
It makes it an aerosol. Yeah.
Does it really?
Yeah. That's why I run away. If there's no toilet seat, I flush and I run.
That's true.
I do too. Yeah.
Does that explain why sometimes there's like, there's some liquid around the
because people are running?
What? No, from around the toilet because people are running.
Oh, no, that's condensation.
Well, and people are messy.
If people are messy, that gets
they're not aiming.
It's a huge
well.
Debate in our house. I'm like, seriously, could you not make it in there? What's the deal? Right. I literally this Saturday I was the Great Santini with my boys. I said, okay, I'm going to teach you how to clean the toilet because I do it all the time. I do it all.
Can you come to my house and do my toilet? Because I've been having some issues.
Have you been having some issues?
It's like an odor coming from
it. But seriously, toothbrush, it's been scientifically proven?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So
that's why I should hang my toothbrush from the ceiling?
Well, that's why people
are... you hang from the ceiling? Who are you getting...
it's going to be everywhere. Depends on how big your bathroom is and how much space you have between your toilet and everything else.
Right. What's the trajectory of the,
it's
of
like
the water?
Again, it's like a blast. It's like
what's a blast? You could just say a blast, but like it's
it goes like in all directions, like a mushroom cloud.
But how far? I mean, it's the power of
you
the
know,
toilet?
Is the it way a, to prevent it, though, just put the seat down when
put
you
the seat
flush.
Down when you flush, yes. Or put your toothbrush inside a cabinet, which is what
Or brush while you're flushing.
While you're sitting on it?
While you're sitting, yeah.
While you're sitting, right? Brush, flush.
I can't concentrate like that. Against it's us? Like, that seems like walking and chewing gum at the same
time. Too many things at once.
Brush in the shower.
That guy brushes and he flushes.
Shower. I'm too busy drinking beer in the shower to brush in the
dip
shower.
Dip it in the beer.
I tell you.
The beer, right.
I shave. That's the thing. In the shower, I shave in the shower.
Oh, I do that too. I shave in the shower.
The best. The better shave. It's a better shave. I don't get any cuts anymore. You know, it's
always
just
go down. Remember, don't go against the grain. Go down.
I don't know what's happening anymore on this show.
I don't know, Elliot, if I'm going to take that advice.
Here, to keep your toothbrush clean, do not share toothbrushes. The exchange of bodily fluids that such sharing would foster places toothbrush sharers at an increased risk for infections. After brushing, rinse your toothbrush thoroughly with tap water to ensure the removal of toothpaste and debris. Allow it to air.
debris.
And allow it, depending on how much, if you have broccoli, you might have broccoli on your toothbrush.
I know, but I like how they call it debris.
Debris.
It's like debris.
Like on the side of the road.
It's debris. Or, it's got some like wood chips.
Yeah. Or cheese.
I got wood, or cheese, yeah.
Debris.
Cheese, that's yeah. right, debris.
It is not necessary to soak toothbrushes in disinfecting solutions or mouthwash. Can this you, practice, actually.
Do you have an answer to the question, like how long, though, the debris is like, seriously, but I mean, what's the rule? Like, if you, I'm serious, if you brush and then you like leave it there and then it dries out, right? It dries out.
Yeah.
When is it okay to use the toothbrush that's been used by somebody else?
Oh, let me ask Siri. Hold on a second.
I don't think you can. No.
Is it ever okay?
Is it okay?
Is there a time? Is there a duration that you would?
If you love each other very, very much. And you don't care what you catch from them, then sure.
I would never share a toothbrush. But I just remember there has been occasions in my life. I'm going back.
Use a washcloth with toothpaste. Never use someone else's toothbrush.
Use your finger.
Finger. There's been occasions where you used because you had no toothbrush.
Of course I've used my finger.
Or just rinse out your mouth and suck it up.
Rinse out your
Okay, I don't know. All right.
Then. Mouthwash.
Yeah, mouthwash is a gift.
I want to preface this by saying Lana has volunteered to join the conversation. So.
Awesome.
Hi, Lana. How are you doing?
Does she have a prescription for us?
A prescription? Yeah, I think the prescription is to, like, I can't believe you people don't put down the toilet lid.
I do.
We didn't say we didn't. We just didn't know what the trajectory was.
Obviously, there are a lot of people who don't, and I just find that disgusting and appalling.
So every time you flush, the toilet, the lid, the seat, and the lid is down completely every time you flush.
Well, there's no point in putting it down halfway.
Yeah, why do you make that sound like that's insane? Like putting always.
There's the
peekaboo feature where it just only goes down so far.
There's the seat and the lid, right? Because some people might just have the seat down, but you're doing the lid. I'm thinking like a man right now.
Okay,
I'm sorry.
What if I'm at like let's say at a public restroom?
See, this is Lana. This is a question I was going to ask you because Esmeralda alluded to this as well. If you're in a stall, like we have a bathroom here on the first floor right outside our studio, and it does not have a lid, which is and I can't not flush because everyone will know it was me. So it's I'm in a quandary.
Here's what I do. If it's a single toilet in the room, I will wash my hands, do everything I need to do, and I will flush the toilet as I'm going through the door.
Right. Run.
Like, come on.
Flush and run. Yeah.
Yes. Exactly.
I love it.
Lana,
what's your fastest you've got out the exit?
I'm sorry, what?
What's the fastest exit you've made? I mean, you must have timed yourself. I mean, over the years, you've probably improved the speed that you've exited a bathroom.
If I'm fast enough, I'm not looking at my clock, right?
That's right. She's not that'll take away time.
She's smart.
Let me just say before you hang up on me.
I'm not going to hang up on you.
No, I know you wouldn't, but.
I would.
Let her finish.
Yeah. Okay. So somebody was saying while I was on hold something about not having a toothbrush and then using somebody else's and using a finger instead. So I'm just thinking, a finger's really not going to help you because it's the brush, the bristles that are into all the crevices and between the teeth and everything that. And we all know from a recent study that flossing doesn't help at all, right?
That's not true. I'm going to bring in a dentist who really has a problem with that report, by the way.
I'm going to bring in a guy from a floss company. Totally disagrees with you.
Go ahead, Lana.
I'm going off topic, but I think that all dentists would love that because it would give them more work.
Right.
But my thinking is that I just came up with what I'm told is that if you have a cat, just use the cat's tongue, right?
Wow.
Oh, my God. It just got weird.
Here's the thing. First,
what
a cat,
the heck just
happened? In theory, that's a really good idea because cats have very rough tongues.
Okay.
The problem is, okay.
It was a joke.
Right. The moment they get like way in there, okay, like they hit your molars.
Yeah.
You know, you get gag reflex there.
Right. That's your only problem with what we're talking about is a gag reflex.
Amazing.
I'm not saying this as a cat owner or anything.
She wins a prize for changing the entire trajectory of anyone's concept
she
of hygiene.
She lured us in.
She did.
By the way, how wide can you open your mouth that a cat is going to get in there? You unhinging like a snake?
What kind of bizarre torture chamber are you living in? Do we have like someone prize open the mouth and then bring the cat towards you?
I love that Lana's been in a situation where she's like, if I don't have a toothbrush, come here, kitty. Lana, hold on. That's okay. Hold on the line. Craig's going to take your information. We're going to send you a gift card to Lou Malnati's for just being uniquely, I think, superior in changing a conversation.
Oh,
I think,
my God.
In the history of the show.
There was a great pivot.
More after this on 720 WJ. Wrap your mind around your kitty in your mouth.